Do it again.
Of all the gin joints in all the towns in all the world.
You're listening to Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling.
Hey girl, a martini, shaken, not stirred.
Don't try and church it up, son.
You can't handle the truth.
I am big. The picture that got small.
Your first one's on us. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling. I'm your host, Mark Rigadon, and with me as always...
Richie Bird!
How are you doing on this Taco Tuesday Cinco de Mayo fighting the coronavirus?
Good for you. I'm not a big Cinco de Mayo guy. I don't know. I mean, I didn't even know there was a war.
Yeah, the French were fighting the Mexicans. And
when was this, do you know?
A long time ago.
And the Mexicans beat the French on May 5th?
And it was just a battle. It wasn't the war.
So they won a battle.
Yeah, it'd be like if we celebrated the United States because we won Gettysburg.
Yeah.
So it's...
Well, we don't celebrate the Alamo, that's for sure.
Well, I'm actually let's start the show like we start every show. What are you drinking, buddy?
All right,
when we bring the guests out, let them do theirs.
Here's the deal. Our guest is the only guest that we ever had. She's a returning. She's coming. We brought her back. And we did the first season. She was on, and she actually showed up with a bottle of wine for all of us to drink. Yeah. If you remember. And I thought that was very nice of her.
She didn't just bring a bottle of wine.
She brought glasses.
She went all out.
She didn't think the comic strip had glasses or something. So in honor of Maureen Langan, I'm having some red wine.
Ah. So I'm drinking a Coors, but I brought my prop Corona 19.
I got it. Good man.
I'm thinking about diving in the prop comedy this is over.
This is the time when this is over.
All right. I mean, this episode.
When this is over, this is brutal. I don't know. It's getting to me. It's starting to get to me.
Yeah, I'm feeling it. I'm definitely feeling the cabin fever. I want to get out. I feel like I'm in prison, even though like I'm having a good time.
Yeah,
it's like, my God.
I'm doing a show Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm doing a show for Joel.
That's right.
Yeah, at a place, the Railroad, and they got an outdoor thing. So it'll be, and Joel called me and he goes, got a gig for you, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, it's like, not sure I want to do it.
Flam's in the house, baby.
What's up, Flammer?
Oh, man. Oh, we got somebody's having white wine. Very nice.
But you know, like how bad, you know that feeling you get when you're working, you're like, I don't want to go through this. How can I have that now, Mark? How can I possibly
Because we've been off so long that it's like rust is going to just start falling out from
under us.
I
wasn't expecting a show on Friday. For some reason in my head, it would be a wow, you know? And I don't know. It's kind of weird. It's going to be weird. I'm a little nervous. I don't know if anything's going to fit either. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah, it's going to – I have a feeling it's going to be really weird getting back up and being in front of an audience. It's like starting over, but at least you have chops, you know? So, like, you have material, but it's going to be starting over.
Yeah. And I mean, the whole, like, I guess we got to switch mics.
Oh, wow.
You know? Things like, I'm wondering if the audience will be in masks. You know? It'll be weird not seeing people laughing.
They'll be all social distanced.
Yeah.
If that's a word.
Speaking of masks.
And speaking of stupid.
And speaking of stupid, which normally is how people speak when they hear my act. Some people They're trying hard to be part of the solution. To help.
Best intentions.
Yeah.
Best intentions.
And they're failing miserably.
So we're going to go to our segment that we call Drinks, Jokes, and Screw-Ups. Our first one, I think we should go with the photo first because I don't think the photo can follow the video.
Okay, let
me see. So we're going to bring up this guy is best intention.
Oh my That's God.
Not a way to fight a disease.
Wow.
But
I dated him. And now we have a video. This could be one of the dumbest women.
Drinks, jokes, and screw ups.
So this girl's coming in with her mask on. Y'all need to see this.
Hey, Joe, look at this ghetto ass mask.
Hello. How you doing?
Pretty good. I need 10 on pump one, please.
Where'd you get that mask from?
Well, since we have to wear them and it makes it harder to breathe, this makes it a lot easier to breathe.
Cutting it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll do that too. Thanks for the advice. Appreciate you.
What the living hell? Drinks, jokes, and screw-ups.
Hey, here's the funny thing. I bet she's our biggest fan.
We just lost a viewer. We're going to be down. I just...
Flammer knows her.
I don't get what's the point at all of having the mask if you're cutting out the whole part that you're supposed to be covering.
It's really, really stupid.
Oh, my God.
It's really just stupidity at its best.
So my neighbor's family's from Japan, and they said every household gets 2 masks. That's it. They only get 2.
Really?
They're not even full-size masks. They're little. He says they barely cover your face. And every house gets 2. Even if you 8 people live in your house, you get 2 masks.
Wow. What that's about...
Pretty, that's pretty scary. It. Don't say it, Richie. I think I know where you're going. So should we...
Yeah. I think we've fucked around enough here. What do you...
Let's get down to business.
Yes.
Let's get down to brass tacks.
Our guest tonight, very funny, funny woman. Love her to death. Been friends with her a very long time. You know, she had a radio show in San Francisco for many years. And a few years ago, I was co-hosting it with her. Had a lot of fun. I did like a whole summer with her. She took it. Now she's doing a daily web talk show, Hanging with Langan, which was the name of a radio show.
Hanging with Langan, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m.
Facebook Live. And I love her to death, and you love her to death. Let's get her out here. Maureen Langan, everybody.
Maureen Langan in the house. She's virtually in the house.
You guys. I know. I love you guys. It's good to see you. I like that you're doing this on the .com, as my Irish mother would call it. It's nice. No, it looks really good. I like this whole stream yard or junkyard or whatever yard, lumber yard. I like it. It looks really good.
Thank you.
And you're on Facebook Live.
I'm on the doc. Yeah, I'm doing Monday through Friday. I'm doing, Hanging with Langan. I have a Facebook group page, and I do it on the timeline, bringing in comics, going behind the scenes. I'll have to have you guys on, scratching the surface. You know, it's real talk. Find out what people are about, you know.
So it's fun. I noticed that this is the second time now you have a show, and we had to have you on our show first before you offered to put us on your show.
All right, let me tell you something. I'm going to come at you, mister. Fourth largest market in the country, KGO. I had you on any time you wanted. And I would say, Richie, you don't have to come next week. No, Joel thinks it's good for me. I should do it. And then I took you out for whiskey and spent more than I made so that I could appreciate you. And I'm like, are you shitting me? Are you came on whenever you wanted. I said, no, this is good for me.
That was a fun night.
That was the fourth largest market in the country. You got some good tape, baby.
I know, I did. And what happened? The show's no longer there.
Yeah, you know what they did? Well, listen, it was 7
you
years.
Did it for what, 7? How many years?
7 years. And I could do it wherever I was traveling because I live in New York. I could do it at their sister station, which is where you would come in. You made me laugh so much on that show.
We had a lot of fun.
And when you sing, I loved when you would sing.
She'd make me sing, Mark.
Come on, why don't you do it?
No, I went back to the old times.
Would you sing for me?
Last July 4th.
Yeah.
I went to see. My buddy did a production of 1776.
Barely.
On the 4th of July, I went to see it.
Yeah.
And I'm watching it, and that Lee song, I realized where I was a year earlier, I was on your show for the first time, and you were singing the Lee song.
Yeah, here, Lee, there, everywhere, Lee, I'm Henry Richard Lee.
Maureen Langan, we come prepared. Joey, can we see it?
Do you have it?
Wow.
My name is Richard. Virginia is my home. My name is Richard. And really, Virginia is my home. And me, my horses turn to blue. If I can't deliver up to you, the illusion of independency. For I am FFB. The first family in the sovereign colony of Virginia. Yes, the
FFB. Keep it going, I love this.
We've lost you. That's for you, Maureen.
Wait.
Is that Tom Anselone singing?
I like it. One more minute. That's my favorite. Thank you, guys.
That was Tom Anselone singing for you.
Now, that was so good. Thank you.
I recently watched the... Remember the HBO special about John Adams, the documentary?
Yes.
With can't think of his name, the guy from Billions. And what's his name? The actor.
We do this every episode. We can't remember his goddamn name.
I'm so old, Maureen. Anyway, someone's going to write it up. I know it. But it was a documentary about 13 years ago about John Adams. And when they got to the part about the 1776... In comes the tagline. I'm Richard Lee from Virginia. And that was it, Maureen. I'm walking around my house.
It's contagious, right? And like, I used to have a regular guy, a movie critic, come on my Hang With Lion radio show, and he'd be like, oh no, here she goes again. And then my Sicilian lover's like, please, not with Henry Lee again. Please, no more Lee. Here, Lee, there, everybody.
And you guys aren't 76er fans?
We should be, right? Oh, that was fun, Richie. I miss you singing. Aren't you going to sing a song?
I'm not going to sing a song.
Give us a really? Tune, Richie. Oh, come on. Really
fun. Come on. You're so good.
Mark, she'd do this every Sunday night, no matter where, how tired I was. She was.
So just give us a note. Please. Give us a note. Just we can close it out.
This is you. It's my show. You're the guest. I do what I want.
I hate you.
And I'm taking my ball home. And
but you're a good singer, and it's really fun. And
it's Ben Creed on the other night, and he was imitating my act, and he was singing I Left My Heart in San Francisco, which I found incredibly funny since I've never done that song in my act ever.
My youngest sister, she remembers Richie at Rascals when I was brand new.
Paul Giamatti. Thank you, Colleen. I knew someone would come up with it.
And my sister
remembers from Rascals.
Yeah, and my youngest, she's 15 years younger than I. She was like, Maureen, that guy, Richie, always cracks me up. She still remembers, stepped on a pop. she still remembers that.
That's a long time ago.
Yeah, it was.
I haven't done that bit in about 3 weeks.
I was going to say six. All right, it's three. Hey, I got a good wine recommendation.
Do you?
Affordable, yes. Delicious. I'll have it tonight because I'm in California. It's a little earlier. Trader Joe's. It's a $12.99 bottle, Trader Joe's Cabernet Reserve. It's 2018. Okay, it's not age, but it is really good. You guys, I brought you a Malbec, but you like a little of the fuller, you say. So
yes.
I would do that.
And what I had the $2 Chuck. It was good.
Really? All right.
I expected it to be horrible. It was decent.
Well, so this is a Trader Joe's label. It's Grand Reserve 2018 Cabernet. Very good. You're welcome. Chalk Hill. What whiskey did you drink that I got you a bottle of?
Me?
Yeah.
No, it was Scotch. You got me a great bottle of Macallan's. Nice. You got me a Macallan's.
Oh, I did. I'm so nice. All right.
Yeah. Macallan's Scotch. Yeah, it was very nice of you. And you put up. You drove in your bike, and it was raining.
Oh yeah, snowing.
And you kept and you kept fucking talking about it. I remember that. You wouldn't shut up about it.
About how much I did for you?
Yeah.
I came on my bike in the freezing cold and brought you.
Yeah. Yes. You're so Irish. You're such an Irish pain in the ass woman.
He's used to submissive chicks, and then he runs into me. No, you're not.
What are you drinking, Maureen?
Well, I'm not drinking out, but I have what I just told you. I'm going to have that tonight.
Okay.
Trader Joe's Chalk Hill Grand Reserve, $12.99. I'm telling you, it's some good shit.
Awesome. And do you have a joke?
I don't have a joke.
We didn't worry.
Okay. I got some new material because of coronavirus. So this is what I got to work out. You know me. I got to get into my...
See, that's something I want to talk about too, but go ahead. Do your joke.
I have my anger, which I usually put on stage, but the joke, the material's there. Then I'll work out the energy behind it. So I'll just give you the meat of it right now. So, you know, I when this coronavirus first started, they stopped all the sporting events, and you know that, right? Of course. So I said, had they, you know, ended golf sooner, my marriage might have lasted. And now that they've started it up again, I'm wondering if I'm still a beneficiary. That's all right. I'll work it into my attitude about him, but that's good.
I like it. Yeah, that's the hard part now about going back, is everybody's going to have COVID jokes.
Yeah, but to do it or not to is going to be the major question.
Yeah, and you will have those people, my brother died. You'll have that.
My brother died. Oh, that's
my brother, I get angry with him. Like, well, I'm trying to make a buck here, dude, please.
But you know what it is, too? It's like what I just told you now, it's all very truthful. It's like he always golfed, and it really affected our marriage. So I think if I weave that in to, there's truth in it. Hey, if he didn't golf so much and he spent more time with me, you know, maybe we would have lasted. So,
yeah, maybe.
You know, and I can weave that in when I talk about him. And then the thing is, and I still do wonder, did he ever, because he's such a procrastinator, maybe I am still a beneficiary. I don't know. I don't know. Everybody has to look at the positive side of life. So that's all. I think if it's truthful, you know, whatever. But what's going to happen too, it's almost going to look glaring. And I say this to you guys, Mark and to Richie, it's almost going to look glaring if there isn't an update in our material, whatever that might be,
right?
Whether it be talking about isolation or your relationship from afar or together. It doesn't have to be COVID, but it has to be how I think who we've changed or what we're about. And that doesn't have to use the word COVID all the time or just be about the virus. It can be what we realized about ourselves or what we do like or don't. But I think just to go back to the material as it was is going to look, I don't even remember my act, so it'll be new to me. But, you know, it's going to be, what do you think? Don't you think there has to be?
Oh, yeah. Well, I think that's where this is born from. We had just gone back to the comic strip and where you did the first show, the first Drinks and Jokes Storyteller.
Yes, so I broke the line. Yeah.
And we had like five shows in the can, and Joel called me and said, hey, next week we're going to start the show. We're going to start putting it up on Facebook. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know that it's going to come across well now. I mean, like one of the shows was a comic talking about losing his job. And this is all before the virus, you know. This is pre-virus.
So,
yeah, you know, everything's changed. So then Joel said, well, maybe we should just go live on Facebook, on the air, on YouTube. And I'm like, right. And Mark said, let's try it. And that's like already just this only came about because we didn't know what else to do. We didn't want to air shows that weren't pertinent because the world changed so quickly, so fast.
So quickly. I'm glad you guys are doing it. It looks really good. And now I was in the studio with you guys, so I always think of it as a podcast, but were you always streaming it visually as well?
No. It was always born from this.
I like this. I like that other dimension of seeing people. And
we're not going to go back. We can't go back now.
We're going back, Richie. You can't go home again. But why does it say goodbye, Rosie, on your screen?
She's the queen of Corona.
I thought maybe you were hanging out with Rosie O'Donnell, and you know how much I love her. So I thought, oh, maybe I had an end. I don't know. So I don't know. It's crazy. I mean, you're in Pennsylvania. I mean, you're seeing people. You have kids and a wife, right?
Yep. We're staying in as much as possible, but we do our little walks and we have a yard. So we've been trying to be outside as much as we can. But it's hard because what happens is, my wife's a teacher, so she has to teach other kids why my kids need to.
You have to be a father? Okay.
Well, they have to go online and do their school.
Right.
So I have to like monitor baby the kids while they're doing that, but the one kid's not in school. So he's going apeshit. I have to sit by the computer by the other one, and it's like it's very tough. When we go back to normal, any parent who does not think that their kids' teachers need a raise are insane.
Two of my siblings are teachers. So, you know, and one's a school social worker. They're all in New Jersey. But, you know, I wonder, you guys, like, you know, Governor Cuomo just said, you know, we're going to go back in phases, right? So here we are. The virus is going up. Yes, in New York it's going down, but our numbers are so disproportionate to the rest of the country. And they say entertainers are going back last. So they're going to bring certain businesses, construction, certain things back. Entertainment, Broadway, comedy, I don't think we're going back for a year and a half, 2 years.
They're going to bring back the live sex workers in Times Square before comedians get their jobs back.
God, if I could turn back time. All right.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about this before, but yeah, I mean, who's going to sit in a club? Who's going to sit in a theater right now?
Having it spread out in a comedy club, forget it. You know, how many gigs have we gone to and go, please make the seats closer, please don't, you know, do we have to be on the
most clubs have already been spreading out the audience.
Yeah.
Mark's been doing a lot of online shows.
Mark's
done a ton of them.
You have stand up?
Yeah.
I'm afraid to do it.
I don't want to, but you want, yeah. I mean, I would if the money were right, but yeah. You've been doing it. Like, how's that been going?
So it's, I mean, I kind of keep it as the equivalent of like when you open for a band, it's not going to be your nightclub
stuff.
No, do
that. Okay,
so it's, you go up with a different expectation. So you're not going to kill like you do at a comedy club. Yeah. You have to understand this is as good as it gets. This is how it works. And then when you do the Zoom shows, you have to figure out ways to make it so you get fed the dopamine of doing a live show, but you're not getting a live feedback. You have to really watch the people and see if they're enjoying it or not because their mics are off.
Oh, you're seeing all the faces.
Yeah, you have to kind of figure out how to make it so it's not painful and that you're getting what you need out of it.
Yeah, any money? You're making any money out of it?
Yeah, a little bit.
Good.
You know, it's well, the funny thing is that they're saying like, we can't pay you what we normally pay, but we'll pay this. And then all of a sudden you go, yeah, but I'm not traveling.
Yeah.
I'm not going out drinking. I'm not going out and eating. So I'm actually making probably the same money.
Well, I laugh if they're not paying what they usually pay. That's a $25 set in the city.
I think, and Mark, you'd know more than I would. I got asked to do a show the other day and I couldn't because I can't get the Zoom to work and it was 40 minutes. That just seems really long.
For you alone, 40
yeah,
minutes?
Yeah. I think, you know, when you do a private party and it's somebody's birthday and the person goes, we want to book you. And you go, okay, how long? And they go, an hour. And I go,
No.
You don't realize how long an hour is.
No, it's too long. And they think they're not getting their money's worth if you don't do an hour, but you're doing a better show if you hit them for half an hour, hit them hard. See you around like a donut.
So and it's hard to tell somebody that because they think, well, I'm paying the money, right. But they understand that quality is better than quantity. If I'm up for 45 minutes in a club, that's one thing. Here,
my contracts, it's 40 to an hour, depending on me.
It's a lot.
That's my choice.
What?
So like if they're really good, I'll go a little longer, but if they're not, it's not a good 10 minutes is too, especially if you're hearing my act. but I usually go, I hit 40 and then if I'm having fun, keep going, but I also don't just stand up and just do stand up. I start sitting down, talking to them and then I get up and do some jokes. I do material. Then I sit back down and do questions. I tell jokes. I see what they do for a living and, you know, get to know them and kind of have a conversation. It's kind of like being a comedian at a party. Like you got to be entertaining. Then everybody's going to want to hear some of your stuff. And then you got to come back and be social.
You know what it sounds like to me, Mark? It sounds like not being a comedian.
Well,
I shit like that.
One good thing about that, though, is you're not going to have that guy that's going to screw up your act. The guy in the audience is going to, because he's only doing it to impress everybody else.
Yeah.
And really, he's in his house. You know how that guy annoys everybody? He's only annoying himself.
I know. Yeah, so he's stuck with himself. No, but I get you, Mark. You're able to use other things. I think sometimes if you do a half an hour and you go longer, they win. Like there's more. They're like, oh, but if you manage expectations and give them even more. But, you know. Listen, I'm glad you're making a few pennies. I mean, now I'm going to do it. I'm going to be sure I do it. Sure I do stand up on it.
Friend Bill Barrett, who I grew up with, said, sounds like an escort. And it really does.
That's basically what being in the entertainment is.
I rub some oils on them. And then
give them some incense. Oh,
but I only practice safe comedy.
Cut a hole through the mask. Talk to
them. Cut a hole through the mask.
Oh, boy. But, Richie, are you getting out at all? Are you, like, able to get out?
I've been walking every day.
Oh, good.
Yeah, almost every day, yeah. So, and I mean, that's nice, and I'll call people, whatever. But, you know, I mean, this is weird. It's just weird, you know? Mm-hmm. I been kind of busy with this market. I mean, we do a lot of research, usually not on you.
Richie's really great because
I didn't do
in the
shit
morning,
when he was with me on the radio. there's a football game on.
Yeah, but Sunday. She the only idiot who would be on a show on Sundays.
I'm like, well, we did have fun.
I used to watch the Sunday night game on my phone while we were doing the radio.
I'm like, what's wrong with you? Joel says I should do it. I'm like, let Joel come in. I'll hang out with him.
I love busting Richie's balls more than anyone, but he does do a lot of work on this show. He's constantly looking up clips and what do you think of trying this? Why don't we try
what
this?
I do love this about you, Richie, and I'm being serious now. You have a lot of depth to you. Like, you're a really funny guy, but you got a huge heart and you really are a smart guy. I mean, you don't know what Cinco de Mayo is all about, but nor did I.
Because you did. Because you did.
Because I did.
You knew there was a battle.
I knew there was some tortillas.
I love that the two of you fight so hard and you're both Irish. It's like watching like brothers and sisters fighting.
Right. It really is.
Every time I'm in the room with you guys, I'm like,
I'm afraid of them.
I did do some research on you, Maureen Lennon.
Oh, God.
And we do have a clip of your comedy act. So let's go to her comedy act.
Go out with the old guys. Go, because I would never want to be a cougar. Not in a million years. Absolutely not. No. My friend Carol says, but Maureen, dating a 30-year-old makes me feel so young. I'm like, all right, but it makes you look so old. If you want to look and feel young, I would date Larry King. I'm feeling really hot next to Larry King. No, I don't need some young guy named Chad. With his rich background and his tight abs, coming up to me, touching my belly fat, going, what's this? What's this, you little piece of crap? What's this? I'll tell you what this is. This is pain. Pain. Covered by affordable treats and wine from Trader Joe's. We got a lot of JoJo's right here and some delicious red wine by the liver right here.
That's Maureen Lagan.
That's pretty good.
Was Joel in the audience? Did you guys hear Joel's laugh?
You know, can I tell you the first when we watched it earlier today? I thought that was Joel too. I'm like, is Joel in the audience?
Of a laugh.
Was that? And that was obviously where at Gotham.
Yeah, it was Gotham because it said Gotham behind it. No fooling you, Richie. Did you have to look up from your phone to see it?
Maureen, I don't know if you know, Richie was going to be a detective before he was a comic.
I will tell you that Jerry Stiller said,
"Oh yes,
Maureen Lennon is to comedy what James Brown is to soul."
That was nice, right? He did say that.
It's a shame that he's that old now.
It's what? What did you say?
He's just so old now. He just comments like that. I don't know.
I know what you were saying. I got you. I was going to bail you.
I agree, Pam. I agree. You are a comedy with James Brown is to soul. All right, why are we going here? What are you doing, Joe? Are you taking over the show now? I was getting.
He's going. Move on.
I was getting. That's we're going to talk about her one-woman show. I wanted to give her some shit about this soul thing. James Brown. So
yeah, let's go back to that.
Are you friends with Jerry Stiller?
I'm very good friends with James Brown. I mean, he's dead. But no, what I did was I did a roast for Ann Mira and Jerry Stiller in Nantucket. And
it sounds like a joke.
I know. Everything with Nantucket's a joke. But afterwards, Ann said to me, you're fucking funny. You're a fucking broad. Come with me and Jerry. We're going to go get some fucking dinner. And then we were all hanging out, and he said, you know, you're like James Brown was to soul. You were like that to comedy.
That's great.
Well, it was nice. You know, it was great time. It was nice.
Especially from him. I mean, he's a comic genius.
This was about 10 years ago he said that.
Yeah, I mean, people don't realize, Kevin James' father-in-law. Oh, he was a goddamn genius back in the day. He wrote all their bits and everything.
People loosely use the word legend. He deserves that word.
What's up, Greg Vaccarello? How about that?
Vac is in the house.
Where's he living now, Greg? Where are you?
He's in Vegas.
He's still in Vegas.
I love your mayor. I mean, and then somebody said if she won, who was the runner up?
Vaccarello is still to this day one of the guys. He could read. He could read a phone book if they were still around, and make it funny. He's so goddamn funny.
You know, he was a regular on the Richie Byrne show. He was such a good actor too. He was my Art Carney. I mean, dude, I'd walk out after every show. The Richie Byrne show did all this work, set everything up, produced, and then people go, "Don't lose Vaccarello, man. Don't lose Vaccarello. Fuck Vaccarello."
We worked together at the Tropicana back in the day, Greg. But, you know, I don't know. You know, Greg, there's a comic from San Francisco who just moved to Vegas named Mark Pitta. He is one of the best MCs on the planet. He came from the Throckmorton in Mill Valley. That's what he used to do, a regular comedy show. I just hope you guys connect because you're both really fantastic comics. That's all.
He asked me for videos from the show, and I wrote him back and said, "Yeah, I'll get on it." And that was months
15 years ago.
I'm sorry, Greg. We had a pandemic.
He'll mail you the VHS next week.
The beta, the 3/4 inch beta.
That's the good thing about the pandemic. You can blame it on anything. Like Greg wrote me 5 years ago for the video. So not pandemic.
It's coronavirus.
You know, if you screwed up in any way, pandemic.
Yeah, but what about now? Like, so I like being on your show, and you know, there's some really good people doing good stuff. But then you get like these lunatics calling, "You did my show," and I'm like, "Oh, and what are you going to say? I'm busy. Like, what can you do?"
And as Colleen just said, but you do know, Greg, Burned Out is now available.
Yeah. Thank you,
on Vimeo.
Burned Out sale. Now available for sale on rent on Vimeo. Shameless promotion.
Shameless promotion.
There it is. Shameless promotion. Anyway, you were talking about what? You were talking about?
Who, me? Mark?
Maybe no, I forgot.
Speaking of Mario?
What I want to know is, Richie and I look like we're wearing wigs. Where did you get your hair done? You have your hair done.
Your hair looks great.
It does?
Yeah, how did you get your hair done?
No, not joking. What specifically? No, you're setting me up. All right,
your color and the bangs are coming down. You have like the red Jennifer Aniston. Look, there's Richie's mother. I didn't mean that as set up a joke. I honestly thought your hair looked great.
Well, you know what? Thank you. I did blow dry it, but you know what? I had the roots in, so every day I was wearing like a scarf, like Valerie Harper. And the Sicilian and I've never colored my own hair. We go, let's do it. It came out a little too light in the roots.
I was gonna say when
I think it looks good.
When you're living with a Sicilian,
I cut my own bangs. Go ahead.
You know. I mean,
living with a Sicilian, there's plenty of knives, scissors,
plenty
sorts
of
weapons.
But how about this? We did the DNA test, and his mother never told him because he was raised Catholic. His father, his grandparents were from Italy, went to Catholic school. Turns out his DNA came back half Jewish. His mother was 100% Jewish and never told him.
Makes sense. Good food, lot of guilt.
Isn't that unbelievable?
See, when you said you did a DNA test, I thought you were pregnant.
I'm pregnant. Yeah, I'm carrying quadruplets, and me and Curtis Lee was sister. She was like 70 when she had. Remember that? That was in
the new Octomom.
Six in her 60s, but my stomach looks like I'm pregnant. But the thing is, so my dad is dark. You know, he can tan a lot, and his parents are from Ireland, and my mom's from Ireland. So I thought, well, maybe before he dies, God goes to God, let me see, check my DNA, because he can go out in the sun, he tans, he is. Anyway, it comes back, my DNA. Are you ready? What do you think it is?
100% Irish.
Mark?
African.
Yeah, I'm African. 100% Irish, Richie. 100. We didn't even visit Galway or Dublin. Right from the Midlands, three counties in a row, that's it. Unbelievable. What about you, Vern?
Me? Turns out I'm Jamaican and Korean. Who knew?
Italian, Mediterranean.
I never did that stuff.
You don't believe in it? All right. Okay.
Italian, Mediterranean, and then I found out there's a tiny trace of Liberian, which is like Spanish. And then on my mom's side, it was Scotch-Irish.
Liberia? Liberia is in Spanish. Okay. And they made up the country, didn't they make it up like 50 years ago? Let's look up Liberia. And what are you talking about Mediterranean? That's Greek or Italian. Pick one.
Yeah, Italian. Does Riccadonna give Riccadonna. That away?
Yeah, great, great.
All right, I'm looking up Liberia because I they named it after
on your show.
Iberian.
Yes, the Republic of Liberia, county in the okay, a country on the West African coast. It is bordered by Sierra Leone to the northwest, Guinea to that's a bad word to its north, Ivory Coast to the east, and the Atlantic Ocean. To, it covers who cares how many miles it covers. I'm going to read the history of it. I'll get back to you. Monrovia is the capital.
You're putting an L on it. Iberian Peninsula.
A Liberian.
Iberia. Iberian.
Oh, you said Liberia. In Africa. Oh, okay, yeah. Iberia. That's like a Portuguese Spanish thing.
Yeah.
All right. Take it back. I thought you didn't know. I'm like, Liberia became like liberty. It was a country. It was like their independence. All right. Anyway,
that's fun fact. Maureen Langan.
I'm here. I'm here for you all day.
Didn't know Cinco de Mayo, but knows the entire history of Europe.
Now you know what I do find interesting, Mo, is these people who go on and find out they have half brothers and sisters.
Oh, that's creepy. Nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that.
It's really weird, man.
Enough of my own, but
it's going on and it's happening like crazy. Like,
well, yeah, that can be weird.
It's weird because you think like if you have another like an illegitimate child, and
they're always legitimate. They're just maybe married, unmarried, out of wedlock.
But you get through your whole life hiding that, and then you die and you think I got through. And then like 15 years later, you got some great grandchild going, you were fucked up. That was fucked up. You know what I mean?
I'm part milkman.
Like,
what's that?
I'm not going to say it, but I'm not going to say it.
What are you going to say?
Nothing.
Oh, it's bad.
No, I'll tell you off.
Okay, Iberia is in the southwestern tip of the European continent. The Iberian Peninsula includes the countries of Andorra, Portugal, and Spain, and the British Crown Colony of Gibraltar. That's as of 2015.
Italy, everywhere
I love history. What can I tell you? I love history.
I think that was more geography, but okay.
It's also the history of the world. That is geography, but I do love history.
So you have a one-woman show that you don't talk about a lot, but
I'm going to stop doing it, I think, unless people really want me to.
Sanitation. Oh, no, it's not. It's called Daughter of a Garbage Man.
Right.
And what do you mean? Why are you not going to do it anymore?
I don't know. I mean, maybe I will, but it's so emotional to do, even though it's really funny. It's really deep. And it's like, you know, look, it did well. I had a long run in San Francisco for over a year, took it to Florida. The Jews thought, oh, she's good. I mean, I thought it was going to be funnier. I didn't know it was going to be that emotional, but it's good. after they woke up from the nap, I think you should always give the Florida Jews like another place to have a nap. So I like bringing my show there. Oh, I mean, it won, humbly say, it won one of the top solo shows in the Bay Area. And it was, but it's like there's things you go into that are emotional and hard. And then I leave and I'm like, it's good. And people connect with it. But I'm like, whoa. So I think I just need a little break from it. Yeah.
Did that happen? Did people fall asleep?
Oh, well, only one show in Florida. I mean, I went from standing ovations in February in San Francisco. Literally the next week I'm in Florida. And I said to the guy, you see what you just showed, that graphic? I said, please don't use that because it looks like I'm a circus clown jumping out of a garbage can.
See it again, there it is.
Yeah, there it is. I said, please don't use that one because look at that. I'm out of a garbage can. Who's going to think that you're getting emotional and serious as well as funny? I said, could you please promote it as a true solo show with heart and humor and emotion? And then I'm out of a garbage can. And people are like, oh, I thought it was good. And it's the afternoon, the matinee. Oh, I don't know why she's using that language. I'm like, his wife was good.
No.
That's him.
Oscar the Grouch is much prettier in person.
I was on a cruise ship once, and I was doing the show, and I got a applause break. And I went, and I go, you'll wake them. And the whole first three rows, which is 90-year-olds, like, just gone asleep. And I got in trouble for that. I got the cruise director was mad that I actually, A,
noticed told
people to stop clapping, and B, pointed out that people were asleep. I'm like, how could you miss them?
This is what I would have done, Richie. I would have let them finish the applause break and said, thank you, but you just woke up the other people. I would have let them have. I would have had all that. I would have looked. Hey, you want to hear one of my health?
Not as needy as you, Megan.
Well, that's right. That's true. I please. So, but you want to hear one of my worst hell gigs about Daughter of a Garbage Man?
Yes.
First of all, the show did very well. Most of the shows have been fantastic.
Yeah, but nobody wants to hear about the standing ovation. We want to hear the crazy stories.
So I was supposed to, I took it to a nice place in Florida. But prior to that, I was going to work it out at this little room I had done last year. Small, 50-seater, very cool area, gay friendly. So you get a great audience, smart. So all we were going to do, Harlan Halper, you know my Harlan, he has helped us get gigs, Mark. And we did a contract last year, simple, just these are the dates. This is, you know, the breakdown financially, easy peasy pudding and pie. So this year the owner says, I'm not going to be there. You'll have a house manager though, and you'll have to pay for the house manager. Since I go, sure. So then I get the contract. He goes, I don't like this contract, the owner. I go, why? It's the same thing as last year. He goes, well, you have to clean the bathrooms. You're responsible for cleaning, like I'm the pine sol lady. So I go, I'm not cleaning the bathrooms. And he goes, but you have to. And I said, but I'm not. He goes, but you, I go, but I don't have to. And he goes, well, then I guess we don't have a deal. And I go, okay, bye. And I hung up. Because you know what I mean? I'm not going to be treated like crap, you know?
I mean,
he goes, I go, but what am I paying the house manager for? He goes, no, you have to find the house manager to pay. I go, well, the house managers do I know in Fort Lauderdale? So then he goes, you got to clean the bathroom. So then a week later, he calls me back and he goes, he emails me. He goes, so are we still on? I go, no. He goes, so you don't want to do the show anymore? I go, you called and you berated me and you said I have to clean bathrooms. And he goes, you're pathetic. I'm pathetic. I am. I said, well, you don't call people, verbally abuse them, tell them they have to, because he got really verbally weird, and tell them they have to clean your stupid smelly bathrooms. He goes, you hung up on me because you were berating me. And I'm like, okay. He goes, then let's cancel the show. I go, okay. I didn't say let's cancel the show. You said it. Then call me and say, I'm sorry, I overreacted, you know, and we'll deal with it.
Shit. There's no business in the world that people get treated like this.
Clean the bathrooms.
You're going to bring the people in, entertain them, and then clean up their shit, literally.
Yeah, and literally, right. I said, that ain't happening, buddy.
I've had a few agents who would tell me, boy, your ego's through the roof.
Your ego?
Because you're like, you were like, no, I'm not cleaning bathrooms.
Yeah, the people say, hey, listen, it's a good gig. Do it. What's wrong with you?
Right, it's now, there's 15 comics watching this going, where is that?
How do bathrooms? That sounds great.
Yeah, where can, who books that? I'll do it.
Who books that?
So I have to, is it a bringer show or just, no, it's a bathroom show.
So have your parents seen your one woman play?
No. I don't, again, you know, it goes into some things that you like, you know, denial's a good thing for some people. Let them have it. My mother did read the script and I did tell her, you know, she read it and she gave me her blessing and she wrote a beautiful letter that she's proud of me and tell my truth, which is the antithesis of how I was raised. You keep, right. You know, don't air your laundry. I'm like, we're the only people on the block without a clothes dryer, so we have to air our laundry. But yeah, so she knows what it's about. And she gave me her blessing, which that's a really, and that's part of the coming, you know, to a fullness and a completeness that you don't think is going to happen, which is really great. Well, and my dad's a character, you know? Oh, how about this? So there's a line in the show where I say my dad, he's a character because he's from the South Bronx. He's the blend of Archie Bunker, Fred Sanford, and Marlon Brando, the early years, not the fat years. And I said, my dad is a man. This is the story. I'm not making this up. He's a man who still calls people colored, but in a good way, if that's at all possible. You know, I saw my colored friend, you know, back in the Bronx. That's how he talks. What do you want me to do? It's a true story. After the show, this woman comes up to me about my age and goes, you know, I'm really offended by your use of the word fat. She's cornering me. I go, oh. She says, you know, I used to have an eating disorder. I go, well, who didn't? Blah, blah, get in line. She says, I used to have an eating disorder and my therapist said that I should confront issues that upset me. And I go, and you picked me? You picked me a whole life? You're puking without me? Now all of a sudden it's my fault? All of a sudden it's my problem. See, that's why I don't want to clean the bathrooms. I don't know who's puking in there. Ain't nobody got time for that. Well, can you imagine?
No.
The word fat. That's the word that upset.
I'm still stuck on the bathroom thing. I can't get past. I can't believe that they thought like that was an okay thing in a contract.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, I don't want brown M&Ms, but I'll clean the bathroom.
Right. Isn't that unbelievable?
Yeah, isn't the contract really supposed to go the other way?
And I said to him, you're the one who called yelling at me. I have treated you professionally. I have spoken in a professional manner and tone. If you want to do business with people, you don't treat them like that. You know, and then he had people call to say he was sorry. And it's like, oh, he's a grown ass man. You know? But then when he wrote, you're pathetic, I'm like, this guy is totally projecting himself, you know, like projecting it. Like, forget that's the only time I don't need it. You get to a point in this business, you're like, I'm not cleaning your back. I go, no, it's not going to happen. He goes, but you have to do it. I go, what part if I am not going to do it do you not understand? There is no way I'm cleaning your bathroom. I'm just, and I stayed really calm like this. I go, it's not going to happen, but it has to. I go, okay. He goes, do you hear me? You have to do it. Are you? And he's yelling. He goes, do you hear me? I said you have to do it. I go, okay, I'm going to repeat. I'm going to do active listening. I hear what you're saying. I have to clean the bathroom. I want you to hear what I'm saying. It's not going to happen ever. Okay? So we hear each other. All right, good. Then maybe you don't want to do the gig. Then don't do it. Like, okay, bye. Bye, wig. I mean, wow. Am I going to go clean? Would you do that? You would. No. No.
I can't even fathom.
I didn't even clean bathrooms when that was my job.
Anyway, it's just insane. So, you know, that's those are the shit gigs. But, you know, we
literally
have good ones. I know.
The shit gigs. Do you have anything still on the books, or are you completely, like, wiped out right now? Like,
I have one gig in Wisconsin in October. And I do have, because I do a lot of corporate MCing. So I do have a four-day corporate MC gig in 2 weeks, which will be 4 days over Zoom. Thank God they didn't cancel that. Because, you know, I don't just do comedy. I was a broadcast journalist. I host things, move it along. You know, I read who's going to be there, have their bios, do a little, you know, write some stuff, weaving in and out of that. You know, like you would do a birthday party, but pays much better. You know, that kind of thing. So what about you guys? Anything on the books for you?
Well, I'm doing this thing Friday, which, you know, is the first thing I'm doing since March 15th.
Yeah, March 15th. That's
Sunday night. And that's outdoors. Like I said, people are going to be on their cars, I guess. I'm not sure exactly how it's going to work. And then I have something booked in July that they're talking about. It's a theater that they're going to try and do outdoors.
Hey, I was supposed to go to Edinburgh for the month of August to do my Don't Make Me Hate You show. I was doing Don't Make Me Hate You, which is my T-shirt on my website.
T-shirt?
I sell those on my website, Don't Make Me Hate You. They crack me up because I don't want to hate people. They make me hate them, like the bathroom guy. I call him Mr. Tidy Bowl. No, I call it the Tidy Bowl Theater. I call him Mr. Flop. But you don't want to hate. I wanted to love him, but he made me hate him. Do you see how that happens? I'm a victim. But I was supposed
to hate him.
Of course you do. Because we're codependent and we have to hate the same people together. We're family.
That's how brothers and sisters operate.
Right. When push comes to shove, that's how it is. And I would have your back in a minute.
Right. Please. We can say anything we want about each other, but nobody else.
But isn't that true? I would never let anybody say so. I couldn't even imagine. I would bust your balls, but nobody would say anything negative about that. Like, where did it even come from?
Because that's why we don't. Joel hasn't been on because he was saying some bad things about you. Oh, and I said, Joel, that's enough.
That's hurtful, Joel. That's very hurtful, Joel. And stay off. Stay out of here, Joel. I don't need your bullshit. No, but you know, I was going to go there for August, and that all got canceled too.
It's going to be a long year.
It's going to be a year before we start getting back to things, I think. Yeah. Unless it's focaccia bread guy and scarf lady can come up with some vaccine.
Even then, it's going to be a year. I don't know. I say Trump was going, I think the end of the year, and he was just saying that. You know, who knows?
That's not like him, though, to just say something. I mean, I think if he says that, it's probably
true. You
knew I was going to
do a whole show without saying the T word for you.
You
knew
please,
I was.
Please. Not even a little disappointed in him yet, Richard?
Now it's going to be like Thanksgiving. I'm going to have to hear you two bitch about politics.
Doing a great job. Just ask him.
Good. Very good. All right.
Maureen, you were great, as always.
I love you guys. Hey, love tell Joel to pop up his face. I want to say hi to Joel.
Joel, pop in here, buddy.
Are you there?
He hates me. It's my guts.
Maybe he's not on.
What's he doing?
He's booking us for some Zoom shows that pay really big bucks.
He's having issues, it says. I don't think he means with the computer.
We're all having issues. Hey, but can I just tell people to please tune into Hanging with Langan?
Yes.
3 o'clock, Monday through Friday. You know, I have Kelly Carlin coming on, George's daughter. I have Lori Kilmartin on future shows. She's a writer for Conan. I had Bobby Collins today and Jessica Kearson. And you guys will come on, right, at some point?
Yes. Yes. Joel's in the back going, clean the bathrooms? Why didn't I think of that?
He'll think of it. It'll come up. Thanks, you guys. And they can follow me at MaureenLangan.com, L-A-N-G-A-N, or Mo Langan. It all takes you to the same place. Love you guys. All the best. Be safe, all right? How do I get out of this freaking
thing?
That
was Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling. Woo!
Last call. Thanks for listening to Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling.